Welcome to Toilets to Titles, Down Under, Dynasty Edition. I'm here as always, Ben Duven, at Life from the Ben, with my co-host, Matt Hatton, at FF Doormat. How are you today, Matt?
Mate, I'm doing wonderfully well today. Had a pretty busy weekend, and excited to talk to our guest tonight. How about yourself, and how are you doing?
Yeah, good. Quiet weekend, because we're on lockdown. That is what it is. What can you do about it? Let's not talk about that anymore. I want to move on. But we've got a cracker of a guest tonight, so I reckon we get right to it. An elite athlete in his own right, so let's bring him in. All right, ready to add him to the stream right now?
Let's do it.
Mr. Mick Travers, how are you, sir?
Well, thanks, gentlemen. How are yourselves?
Very good here in lockdown in Victoria.
I'm doing good now. I'm talking to you.
Yeah. I'm just nicely on the other side of the border.
We all play fantasy with Mick. I've known Mick through fantasy football for probably about maybe 4 years now, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that'd be about right.
All right. Time flies when you're having fun.
Taking my money.
Mick's a very experienced dynasty fantasy football player. He's in upwards of 30 or 40 leagues. And I must say, the guy's a shark. Yeah. But being an elite athlete in his own right, he understands what these players go through on Sunday.
Maybe. Let's go with that. But, I don't think they starve, but anyhow.
No. But, Mick, so we'll just start off with, how did you discover the NFL?
To be honest, when my son was born, I hadn't followed any team sports for about a decade. And I just had that little moment where I thought, you know, growing up, I always had that connection with my father. And I wanted to have that same connection with my little boy. And I didn't follow a rugby league. I didn't want to follow a soccer team, NFL, the basketball or anything else. And I do punt. And I like a bet. And I thought, you know, NFL, it's a big team game. It's big money involved and probably not as corrupt as some others, hopefully. Something I can have a bet on and something I can start following. So I decided just out of the blue, I'll follow the NFL. And that's how I started following the NFL.
And what team do you support, you and your son?
Well, I follow the Saints. My son follows the Green G team, unfortunately. He's still young. I'm sure he'll grow out of it.
You've got to beat it out of him, mate.
Oh, no. His favourite colour was green for the longest time. It's now pink, thankfully. So, I'll eventually get into the black and gold. We'll be right.
And how soon after getting into the NFL did you discover fantasy football?
Probably 12 months after that. It's another weird type of story. I was watching a movie, This Is 40, and I know it's not NFL draft, but during the movie, the guy's sitting around doing a live draft for fantasy baseball. And I remembered, you know, that probably has the same sort of thing with NFL, started looking it up and eventually found what I was looking for and joined a couple.
And how long ago was this?
Probably about five years ago now at the most. So look it up.
Did you start off playing Dynasty right away, or was it like redraft type leagues?
Yeah, no. My first one was a Dynasty auction, a contract league. So back in 2016, not that long ago. So 2016. So I joined. It was an auction. And all contracts. So obviously contracts.
Just easy, nice easy start.
Yeah, that was hectic as. I didn't know what I was doing. I remember I drafted OBJ and then he had a sook on the sook, you know, three games into it. So I traded him away in disgust and made a mess of that. So anyway, not to worry, live and learn.
That's what it's about.
So, I'm trying to still learn.
So straight into the deep end playing, you know, complex auction dynasty fantasy football leagues. Jesus, that would have been straight on MFL as well, yeah?
It was, yeah. That's the first one I could find. And it was really hard to get involved too, like, because I didn't know anybody in the community either. I didn't know how to get involved in leagues. Most of the leagues I tried to get into from that Finder leagues, you know, you needed to go on League Safe. I'm not American. You couldn't put your Australian credit card put money into League Safe. So then you couldn't get into that particular league. And eventually I found commissioners that, you know, I could transfer the money to them. They put it in the League Safe. They'd give me the winnings if there was ever any. You know, and so I stuck with those leagues throughout. And unfortunately, as you mentioned, I'm in, let's say, 40 leagues. And be honest, it's probably about 42. I find it really hard to leave leagues unless they fold. And sometimes I'm pretty happy when they fold around me.
How many would you have left in all your time playing in fantasy football?
Not actually left or had fold? Yeah.
Left because they left because you just want to leave. They didn't fold.
One.
Just one.
Just one.
Okay. But you would have had several folds. Sorry, Matt.
No, I was going to say, I think I've only left one myself too, but I'm not in as many as Mick. That's pretty, it's pretty commendable, mate, to be 40-odd leagues and not bail. It's hats off to you.
Jesus, there's plenty I'd like to bail on, but I just find it hard to do it. So, you know, you develop little relationships with other people in the league, you know, like you guys yourselves, Scotty T, Brandon Perry, you know, all these guys, you work out trades and spend lots of hours doing it, and you know, you hate to disappoint them.
Yeah, I definitely get that. I left my first league where I actually said, you know, I don't want to be in this league anymore, guys. It's just not for me. This off season, when I left the No Fun League, Matt.
That was the contract league, that one.
The contract league.
Yeah, yeah.
That Lewis Glover started a couple of years back, and then he stepped down as commissioner and then he left the league.
Yeah.
Just on that, Lewis is a pro at leaving leagues.
I better have a chat to him then. There's plenty that are, but and you know, it's probably the smart thing to do. Like Scotty leaves every single year. He just doesn't, you know, you've got to manage and stay in the ones you enjoy. I just seem to enjoy multitasking, and it doesn't seem like it, you know. The longest thing is, you know, I had to spend probably a couple of hours setting lineups, and other than that, you know, they all run themselves.
On MFL as well, it's really quick setting lineups because it's just the ticking of the boxes. Where in other sites like Flea Flicker or what's it called? Sleeper, where you've got to like, you know, put someone to the bench and then select someone in the space, in the spot.
Yeah.
It can take a little bit of time, but on MFL, it's just bang, bang, bang on the boxes.
Yeah. Yeah. I get invited to, I do knock back some leagues, which is rare, but, you know, I try and keep them all on MFL. Just my platform of choice.
Yeah, I agree. It's the best platform, especially for managing multiple leagues. You know,
I think if you leave early is the key. It's good to leave. I mean, it's fine to leave, but as long as you're given enough notice, that's the key. You know, just be upfront about it and let everyone know that it's not normally an issue.
Yeah, I think you and I were only talking about leaving one the other day. I think we're both still there. But, we haven't drafted or done the final commitments for that one yet. We'll wait and see.
I was so happy for that Powers League folding.
Oh, well, there's another one I didn't leave, but I actually drafted for Future, so it didn't really work for me. But, yeah.
I nailed every move in that league. I had the 101, I had four picks. I'd sold James Robinson. I got out from James Robinson. I bought Sam Darnold. It's probably the only league I've done it any good in ever, and folds. Yeah. So I was pretty dirty, but you know, it happens.
It was a good group of guys too. It was unreal.
It's a good group of guys, but at the same time, I mean, we're all in leagues with those same people, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty little, like, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say this word, but it seems a little incestuous, the Australian dynasty fantasy football community.
Isn't it? It's all the same people all the same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it also keeps it a little bit interesting. We know where we're going. We know who we're chasing. Mm. So, yeah.
I mean, that was a little bit of my reason for knocking back that wrestling league the other day all in the moment because, like, I'm in the chat and, like, I'm in multiple leagues with all these people. Then I started thinking about the off-season I had. I hadn't been active enough in the leagues that I am in, and I kind of felt really guilty.
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't been throwing out trades and stuff in the off-season in all my leagues like I normally do. And I thought, maybe I shouldn't join this league. I haven't been active enough in my other leagues. And I said, oh, no, I'm not going to join. And then I immediately regretted it like 3 or 4 hours later. But the league was full. Was not meant to be.
Yeah, I think you sent me a couple of messages. Is it still full? Is it still full? And yeah, mate, I think it is. I think there's waiting on guys to confirm. So you probably made the right choice. It is, like, especially ODP, right? ODP is a little bit more demanding in the off season because you just got to set more positions, right? You don't have to worry about 4 or 5 positions. You've got 10 or 11.
Yeah.
Well, the scoring on that league, I know he made sacks and interceptions really high, and it didn't really impact the studs. But it really bought up the middle. And I didn't really like that too much. That was another reason. But Benny's leagues, like, you know, he makes great banners and it's got a cool theme. And as silly as it is, it makes it all a bit more fun, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Footbro's a good one. It's my first ODP with Benny, which was good. I enjoyed that one. So.
Are you talking about Bro League?
Yeah, the Footbro League, yeah. I was lucky enough to win that one. I think it's a 2-quarterback. Only 10 teams in the league. But that was my first other team. And that was good. Yeah, did you? Yeah, right. Well, there you go.
Yeah,
some good teams in that one. I think it was only 10 teams, so you do get a bit more, a few more stacked teams. So watch this space for season 3.
Yeah, can't wait for it.
So, Mick, what are some of your pillars of dynasty strategy in a startup? I have tend to notice that you do like the young guys. You like to get the rookies and the youth heavy in the startup is what I've noticed most of the time. Is that common amongst all your leagues or is it a more recent shift?
Yeah. No, it's probably the last 2 years when I've really started watching. I don't watch college so much as I – you know, I watch the players. I keep tabs on the Devy. I'm in 3 or 4 Devy leagues. So you've always got a little bit of insight from other people's thoughts in chat as well, and you know, watching what you can of them, and then you get attached to those players, and then you find yourself taking them. You know, for instance, my first time I ever won a Devy league, I come down to the last. I had one player left to play. I had to make up 13 points or something, and I had Debo Samuel, and I needed him to get me those 13 points. He got me 13 points, and I remember saying before the game, the kickoff, I said, if you get me these points, I will draft you everywhere, and won the league. I drafted him everywhere, and it's worked out pretty good. So thank you, Debo. But I get attached to those guys, and, you know, we look at that other Debbie league that we've got, and, you know, this year is the year that all my Debbies come out, and same guys I'm still chasing this year. So,
You're going to have you had to be patient, but you're going to have a very, very strong team in that league now.
I hope so. It's been a while. It's been a long wait.
The league's only going into its third year.
Yeah, but I drafted Trevor Lawrence, Rondale Moore, in year one. It's a long time to wait.
And then just today you traded Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, didn't think that was going to happen, but the opportunity was there, and sometimes you've got to take the known over the unknown, I think.
And why don't you just step the people through that trade? What was the trade exactly?
Okay, so Robert, I think it was, Brooklyn99, came into chat and said, I think it's time that Patrick Mahomes moves off his dumpster fire team, as he described it. And I just happened to be online at the right time and saw it. And I thought, you know, I've got the big name at the moment, Trevor Lawrence. I just sent him a message saying Trevor Lawrence. I didn't say anything else, just wrote Trevor Lawrence. And he replied, Trevor Lawrence plus 1.6. which was my first pick in the Debbie draft. I had a look. 1.6 would either get me Elijah Moore or Mac Jones. That's probably that range that's going to go there. And I thought, for Patrick Mahomes, I can do that. And instead of trying to negotiate any further, I just accepted the deal, and you know, I'll take Patrick Mahomes.
You didn't give any thought to what Devies might be available with the 1.06, or you're ready to push into your chips and start winning?
I've got enough Devy, I think. And yeah, it's just sometimes you just got to have a go. So look, I go into it this year with, you know, Patrick Mahomes, some average quarterbacks. I've still got Barkley, Gibson, Jonathan Taylor, Ayuk, T. Higgins, Judy, Lamb, and I add Kyle Pitts to it with Rondale Moore or Jamar Chase. I think that's that should see me in there somewhere about the mark if those rookies hit.
Yeah, I think considering the value of the 106 in the Devy is probably, in this draft, is probably the equivalent of like the 112, so maybe the 2.02. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, for sure. That's why I said, you know, the sixth rated on ADP left was Mac Jones or Elijah Moore. So, you know, they're going around the turn there.
Yeah, I think that was a smash except for you once he came back saying that. Ben. To me, it's apparent that some people are probably overrating the Devy picks in that league compared to a normal league. They're rating them as if they were rookie firsts,
and not
Devy firsts. And I think after the initial startup, those Devy picks, first round picks in a Devy league, even combined Devy rookie draft, they're not the same value of first round picks in a rookie draft only league.
Not even close. We've actually done really well picking the eyes out of them over the years. I think we've only got 24. Justin Ross, and that's one of the failures.
I think we've only got 24 Devys in that league too, right? So
that's right.
It's not like it's unlimited, but yeah, it does impact the value. But look, I don't mind that trade for both sides. I think it's a bit of a steal for you, Mick. And I think it was about 2 minutes. It seemed like the trade was done about 2 minutes. It was just like I saw the notification. Next minute, he was gone. So you just jumped on him. And you know, even for Rob, I think, you know, if he's looking to rebuild, he might even take a Devy with that pick. You know, and there's still some 23 talent not in the league, so maybe he's looking to do that. If he's got Lawrence and he grabs another stud, you know, 22-23 player. That's I think. You know, I'm on Mick's side on that. I want them home side.
Yeah, but you got to start somewhere. Like, if you know you're rebuilding, then you got to sell those pieces off as quickly as possible and get as best as you can. He probably could have got more, but you know, it's not a bad way to start this year's rookie 101 and another, as you said, probably another high Devy pick to start it off.
Yeah, I mean, he needs bodies in that league very badly. He's got a very thin roster. And if Lawrence lives up to expectations, it'll be fine for him. I was going to have a gunner and see what I would have to add to Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray, who I own in that league, to get to Mahomes. But it was done or dusted before I even had a chance to take a gander, mate. Flynn.
I think you probably want to have Kyler over Mahomes. I'm only saying that because I'm trying to negotiate with Scotty a trade between us, and I've got Kyler and he's got Mahomes.
Nice. Well, I like that. That's gold. I was thinking of Shamer. I got Dak and Herbert in that league. So I tried to have a quick look, but it was all done and dusted.
Yep. Quick of the dead.
Sometimes it's good too, just if you're happy with a trade, you don't always have to squeeze it, right? If Rob's happy with what he got, you know, just make the deal happen. You're always going to get a better deal by, you know, trying to squeeze everyone.
Yeah. Oh, look, we've all been in it for long enough. And I said he came up with the idea. I'm happy to accept it.
Absolutely. Very aggressive player, Rob. I like the way he plays. He's one of the few who doesn't mess around. If you send him something remotely fair and he likes it, he'll He'll be all in on it.
Very
good. Nice. Yeah. So one of the moves, we woke up today in Australia, and the great Julio Jones, the Atlanta Falcons, have been traded to the Tennessee Titans. Now, he said that he wanted to trade to a contender. I don't know if the Titans are the surefire contender that I'd want to be traded to if I was Julio Jones. But how does everybody feel about that trade and the fantasy implications of that trade?
Have you lost me?
I can hear you, mate.
Gotcha, mate. You're coming through loud and clear.
Look, I read on Twitter during, you know, only last week, I think there was rumoured to be going to Tennessee, and, you know, I couldn't decide which way it would be. I think it's a bit of here, a bit of there. Kind of one way it tells you that they're going to try and throw the ball more, so you want, is Henry going to be as fantasy relevant? And we saw what AJ Brown can do for Corey Davis last year. You know, maybe Julio does the same for AJ Brown. You know, AJ Brown is already going great guns, but it might just give him a little bit more freedom when he's not taking on the cornerback one. He's actually might be taking on cornerback two, and what cornerback two on the league is going to be able to cover ground. I think that they both go well. And just depends which way Tennessee wants to go with it. If they want to throw the ball, if they want to run the ball.
Matt, what's your take?
Well, I think the only sort of negative to it is, you know, he's not going to get 6,000 targets anymore, AJ Brown. But apart from that, you know, it's a great move for the Titans, obviously, for their fans. For Julio, I don't mind it. You know, I think they're going to be, you know, there again in the playoffs. So obviously, if he stays healthy, it's an upgrade for him. And for AJ Brown, yeah, it's pretty much what Nick said. You know, they're not going to be able to just double team him. You know, they're going to have to if there was no Julio there. Obviously, that's what they're going to do. You know, but now, to pick your poison, really, isn't it? It's you know, one of the others is going to explode. I bought AJ Brown in the Dynasty Underdog startup, and still pretty happy. You know, I still think he's the wide receiver one, despite the Julio trade. Maybe that's a bit of take look because I did get him, but you know, like Mick said, I think it's a win-win, and I think he'll still be there or thereabouts as the wide receiver one.
Yeah, I think this is a great trade for fantasy for everybody except Matt Ryan and probably Derrick Henry. I mean, Derrick Henry rushed for 2,000 yards last year, but I think he was still only the PPR. In PPR, he was still only the running back three. Kamara and Dalvin Cook both averaged 24 and 25 points, despite Henry rushing for a lot more yards than anybody else and still with 17 touchdowns. I guess Kamara and Cook were up there in touchdowns. But if he goes from 378 carries that he got last season to even just 300, that's going to be a big impact to him for fantasy. And he probably drops into that latter half of the RB1s, right? He's probably RB6 or worse.
Yep.
Kyle Pitts, I mean, just when you thought the hype on Kyle Pitts couldn't get any higher, it's gonna get higher. It's like he's probably essentially going to replace Julio in that offense as that type of weapon. And I think this makes Hayden Hurst a sneaky buy in tight end premium in formats because he was on the outs. And now I think you're going to see a crap load of 12 personnel from the Falcons with Pitts split out from the formation or lined up, you know, essentially as a wide receiver. For Julio and AJ, I just think for Julio, I think it's good news to be able to play across somebody as dominant as AJ and vice versa. I mean, they may not have the volume that he would have before, but I mean, how much more volume could he have really seen? I mean, he was probably a lock to get 10 targets a game. Now maybe he only gets 8, AJ Brown. I still think he's a great chance to finish as a wide receiver one. Julio, I don't know. You know, we'll wait and see. I mean, is he on the downside of his career? Are these injuries going to continue to be a thing? But one guy I really Sorry, Matt.
No, I was going to say it'd be great if his touchdown rate regresses positively. You know, who knows if that's going to happen? But you know, Buffalo Bills they threw the ball a lot more than we all expected. So maybe that happens with the Titans. I doubt it, but yeah, that's my take.
The one guy, though, who I think this is probably the best for is Ryan Tannehill.
Can't be anything but good, surely.
Yeah. And I think that the trade for Julio probably means, like I think Mick mentioned, that the Titans are going to throw the ball a little bit more. I think they probably realise that in the playoffs, to really go as far as they want to, they probably need to have that in their tool belt. Maybe only use it if they really have to, but want to have the option there. We'll see how it all plays out come the start of the season, or come the end of the season, really. But is there anybody you guys would be aggressively buying based off this move, this trade?
Not me. No.
Look, I think if you
shares holders or Julio.
I think if you win now, you know you could. It'd be Julio and Ryan. They're both going to be pretty cheap because they're older guys, always a little bit underrated. Obviously, a bit of a worry with Julio's injury history, but you know, if you're close enough, that could be the piece that puts you over.
In Superflex, if I could get Tannehill for like a late first, I'd probably do it. I don't know how many leagues you could pull that off, but if he was on the right team, if he was on like a Redford type team in Devi, maybe you could do that. And based on startup ADP, Julio was value was basically a second round pick. You'd agree on this based off the startups that we've done this offseason, would you say that's the case?
You're not getting the first round, right? Yeah.
So, I mean, if you could get him for a second, I'd definitely do that now. But I wouldn't be super aggressive.
Yeah, it depends on your team lead, I guess, and your team makeup. But you know, if you're close enough, if you're picking at the 110, 111, then I'd jump on it. Yeah, not overly aggressive, but I'd be throwing it out there.
And I hope you are – so on to bigger and better things. And I hope you guys have done some homework on this one because I haven't at all. But I thought, or Matt suggested, that maybe we look at some players who finished outside the top 24 this year – sorry, last year in PPR who could really rise up into, what, the top 12, Matt? Or top 24?
Yeah, I think so. I think just basically guys that we think, you know, like don't get too bogged down in though he finished 23rd, he's out of it. But just guys I think that, you know, are going to make that leap this year really is what I was thinking. So just, you know, who you guys are thinking are going to be higher next year than they are now, a little bit underrated.
Well,
yeah, I haven't done much homework either, so I'll sorry, Mick, you go for it.
Oh, just saying, I'm all about the 2020 classes 100%. I went pretty much just after the wide receiver class. So, look, obviously, the year Claypool, you noted last year, I just seemed to have the 5 and the 6, so I picked up Lamb and Judy every week. None of them are real shockers that they could possibly be there. Maybe people don't have Claypool quite as high as what I do. You know, I'm selling Deontay Johnson. I don't have any Juju or hardly any Juju. And I take Claypool over any both of them. Not keen on Pittsburgh altogether, but if I'm going to have someone, it's going to be Claypool. I'm still praying the Green Bay gods that they'll let Rodgers go and he ends up in Denver to help my Judy shares because he's slowly dying there with Locke. But 2020 class of wide receivers is what I've chased since the draft last year and all the way through the offseason this year.
Who's your one from 2020, Mick?
For 2020?
Do you have a one?
Or is it a two? Yeah, going into the draft, I wanted T. Higgins. He was my number one, but I tried – I was kind of hoping that he wouldn't show up early and that I'd be able to get him more mid-season. So I missed him in a couple of places. I basically got Lamb and took Judy wherever I could. Those were the two. I have multiple shares of Chenault. A big fan of Chenault. Picked up some Jefferson and obviously Claypool. They were the main ones that I chased. Oh, sorry, Ayuk. Got a lot of Ayuk as well. Pretty much all the 2020.
I like it. Nice.
One guy that I think I'm still really high on, despite the acquisition of Jamar Chase in the NFL draft, is T. Higgins.
Yeah. Well, if Joe Burrow is any good, then he can feed too. You know, I was kind of hoping that they could take Jamar Chase and they'd take the offensive lineman. Worked in better for me for fantasy, and it would eventually work in better for Burrow to survive longer. But if they think they've got the bodies to put in front of Burrow and they can survive, then Chase will be good.
Yeah. Look, I think Chase will be good, but I just think Higgins will be good as well. Burrow was on pace for 4,500 yards last year before he got hurt. So the yards are going to be there as long as he's healthy from the outset of the league, of the season.
They're going to have to throw it a lot too, right? They're not going to be winning that many games, you wouldn't think. So there'll be points there, attempts there. So, I think there has been some people panicking a bit with the chase on him. But, yeah, I still think Higgins is still a buy.
Higgins finished as wide receiver 28 last season. So I expect a big increase, maybe not into the top 12, but definitely in like the top 18. Another guy who I think will bounce back big time and really only finished his wide receiver 30 because of injuries is Chris Godwin. I know people are probably worried with AJ Brown there and Mike Evans, but I think he's the best wide receiver on that team.
So I'm about to trade him away in the league today. You're saying I shouldn't trade him away?
Depends what you're getting back for him.
Not what his value is. I picked up a Portland team yesterday and that had Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and I'm just trading every single player off the roster. And I think Godwin's the next one to go. So.
You joined another league.
I was actually already in it, and you can have multiple teams. Someone did the original draft and then decided to back out and didn't pay and left the commissioner holding the bag. And I just said, well, fine, I'll chip in and I'll take the team. So, yeah, like I needed something else to do. Great. But anyway.
Why do commissioners do that? Start drafts before everybody's paid up. It's not something I understand at all.
No, that's exactly right. You can vouch for so many people, but geez, you've got to get the cash.
Just asking for trouble, aren't you?
Yeah. Look, I think worst case scenario, because he's been franchised this season, so it'll be that figure plus 10% next year, right? Is that how it works? Is it 10 or 20% more? It's either the franchise tag or 10 or 20% more if your current franchise tag, whatever's greater. So, yeah, I think next offseason, the Bucks will be back to either two elite wide receivers, either some combination of the three that they have now, but it'll only be two, or Godwin's somebody else's wide receiver one. And he's still really young. He's only still 24 or 25. So depending on where my team's at. And
yeah, look, I like that take. I was actually going to suck in Godwin as one I'm lying to. So, yeah, I think that's a good take.
And a really, really deep one who almost finished outside the top 50, DJ Shark. I love me DJ Shark. I mean, two seasons ago, 1,000 yards with Gardner Minshew throwing in the football.
Love the mustache.
Yeah, I love the mustache, but not as much as I like the flowing locks of Trevor Lawrence.
He made plays for players. He was happy to throw the ball in the air. He wasn't Fitzpatrick, but he'd give these wide receivers chances, and he gave them yards. He kept the ball alive. And I don't know. I really hope they trade him.
Yeah, look, I think he'll get traded to, you know, I could see him on a team like Washington or something like that, who maybe needs another quarterback. You know, all the jobs seem pretty sorted at the moment.
Yeah.
How about running backs? Who can you see taking a big leap out of the running backs?
Half of them were injured last year.
That is true.
For mine, it's Dobbins. You know, I think there's a bit of competition there, and obviously Lamar's going to be running the ball, but I do love him as a talent. So, yeah, look, I think as long as he gets the volumes and he can start to overtake that backfield, we sort of saw it a little bit in the second half of the year. So, yeah, I think he still can. They move into that, maybe not the one, but they'd be close enough.
Yeah, I don't know there'd be too many surprises.
I think there's this bloke, he finished outside the top 50 last season, 51 overall, only scored 73.3 fantasy points for the year, who I think can really rise up the rankings. Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. Add to the list, Barkley, Mixon.
Between the... the first year running backs who only came on at the end of the year, and then the first year running backs like Clyde Edwards-Helaire who came on at the start of the year, faded by the end of the year, and then all the other running backs who got hurt, Barkley, Mixon, McCaffrey, I think your top 12 finishes is going to look very, very different.
I hope so for my consult league team.
I hate owning running backs.
Yep.
I need them to win leagues, but I find whenever I have a running back on my team, I'm just looking at like when to trade him. It's just first and foremost at my mind. And after being burnt by Todd Gurley, I'd rather be a year too early than a year too late. Even if it cost me even if it cost you a ship, I'd almost rather be a year too early than a year too late.
Yeah, well, running backs they don't last, so.
I think the only sort of player that sneaky value in that late, you know, 50 range is Damien Harris. I don't think he's any shot really at an RB1, but I think he could finish close enough again there, you know, maybe, you know, 18, 19, 20. I think the Pats are going to run the hell out of the ball. If he stays healthy, I think he might be a bit of a bargain in his current ADP. I own a lot of shares too, so it could be just my shares talking, but you know, I always sort of rated Harris. I'm not a massive fan of Ramondre Stevenson, and Sonny Michel. He's, you know, he's a good player, but he's just always injured. So you can't see him passing the ball a lot. So, you know, their O line's improved. So hopefully they run the ball all day
with Cam.
With Cam, yep. You're on mute, Eddie?
I don't mind Gaskin. I've got he got through the draft. I'd rather him with Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick was more than happy to throw the ball down to him, more, you know, 4 or 5 times a game. It was great. I'm not sure if he'll get the same favours this year, but you know, he seemed quite reliable to start every week.
You guys need to put more respect on Garrett Doak's name. All right. Jared Doakes is going to he's going to come from nowhere. He's going to take that job.
Yep.
All right. No other running back on that roster has his size. He's got a good size speed combination. He was one of the better athletes at running back in the draft. If anyone can be another James Robinson, it's Jared Doakes, okay? I've convinced myself. You know? Do you guys ever work backwards? You get a share of a player, and all of a sudden you start researching that player and then, like, convincing yourself that he's the next great thing?
Always. It's just what you do, right? It's what we do.
Malcolm Perry last year. Oh, my God.
It's Justin Jackson, Malcolm Brown. There's plenty of them, right? There's late guys you see something in and you just you convince yourself. So it's got to be a name for it, but I think we're all victims to it from time to time.
Definitely. Yeah, I once I got one, I want them I try and get them on all the leagues where I can. And, yeah, it's a sickness.
Sometimes it works out, but not usually.
Well, right now, maybe Mick is doing this himself after his trade for Jordan Love this week, but I might be doing that with Jordan Love. I've gotten quite a few shares of him this off season, between last season and this off season, and you know now I'm all aboard the Jordan Love train, and no one can convince me otherwise that he's not going to be a star. But I still maintain, even before this, I was Jordan Love over Mac Jones every day of the week and twice on Sundays. I don't get the Mac Jones stuff. He hasn't got a good arm. I don't think he's that accurate. I think that everybody at Alabama was just running free. But we'll see. How about tight end breakouts?
You go, Nick. Visitors first.
Well, look, I've been chasing Gerald Everett, Tyler Higbee, which everyone chases, and I'm chasing Brevin Jordan where I can. I'd liked him pre-draft. He hasn't got much draft capital, but I like what I watched, and now I'll take him over Pat Freiermuth. Obviously not over Pitts for the rookies, but those are the three that I've been chasing this offseason. Oh, and Ali Mo Cox.
Yeah, I think Mo Ali Cox, like he had a bit of hype for a few weeks last year and then he died off. But now that Wentz is there, I think you could see a sustained breakout from him.
Yeah. He likes his tight ends.
Not as much as Hatton does.
I do like him. I was going to say Mo Ali Cox as well. I think he finished tight end 29. Burton's gone. Doyle's just a guy. He's still there. Jack Doyle, right? I think he's still there. But yeah, look, he's upside. Mel Cox's upside. Irv Smith as well. I think he's a no-brainer. If they keep throwing the ball and he stays fit enough, I think he could jump up as well. And Blake Jarwin, I think just because of the amount of times they're going to throw that ball, I think he's also – we saw what Shields could do, and I think he might just take over that passing game from a tight end position.
I've got a fair few of those shares. You hit me up for them when we get off this.
Let's do it.
I actually wrote a whole article on some cheap dynasty buys, and Gerald Everett was one of those buys. I think I like his situation, and his new offensive coordinator at Seattle was his position coach for the Rams. So they obviously targeted him and then went out and got him. And I think that speaks real volume. There's no clear wide receiver three there. So it's a possibility he's the third option in the passing game, though they did spend that second rounder in the draft on Eskridge. But we'll see how that plays out. Again, Mo Ali Cox, like you guys said. Man, I'm boring. Another guy, I really like Cole Kmet, especially with Justin Fields there. He'd be somebody I'd be looking to buy. I don't think the hype on him is out of control yet at all. And somebody else I really like is, and look, maybe you have to wait a little longer, is Harrison Bryan on Cleveland. I think he's the best tight end on that roster.
I think Nick's battery just died. He just messaged me and said he's battery was draining fast. It wouldn't charge fast enough. So we've lost Mick. I'm not sure if we'll get him.
We've lost Mick. Get him back.
But yeah, there was an interesting article or just a tweet. It was an interesting tweet from one of the ball blasters, and she had a breakdown of she's looking up basically teams that didn't have a strong wide receiver too. They lacked a wide receiver too, and most of their tight ends were tight end ones. Kelsey, Kittle, Down. There was a strong correlation there. So I think Troutman might even, sneak into that. Depending on that second year breakout, I think he might be a value buy too.
What do you reckon the Anthony Firsker love that had been all around Twitter recently?
Well, it was looking good, wasn't it, until Julio.
Look, he's basically free. No one was paying for him. You know, if you manage to make some money out of it, I think it's a no-brainer. But yeah, I doubt anyone really paid much for him. I think I picked him up a couple of places on the waiver wire last year and probably dropped him as well. What about you, Marty? How do you see it?
Yeah, I thought he was just kind of a guy, not somebody I was overly excited about. Now that Julio's there, he's not someone I'd really be worried about at all. It wouldn't be somebody I'd be trying to acquire, except in super tight end premium formats, maybe like Kraken, where just even a body at tight end is valuable.
Maybe a best ball. You might pick it up in a best ball. You know, you might break out with a couple of touchdown games, but you would certainly wouldn't want him to be your tight end ones anyway. Surely you'd be looking pretty sad if he was. What about Ertz? Do you think he can still resurrect his career? Or I think he's gone from Philly just because of his cap number, but at the minute he's still there.
I don't know yet. I can't say. Not sure. Look, if you're speaking to Mick, tell him just to jump back in on his phone. If you,
Yeah, I'll ping him a message while you do the read.
Why I do the read? That's a good idea. I don't want to forget about the read. So today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, primetimesportstalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. And I just want to remind all the viewers that we have a Patreon now. With three different tiers. Tier one is $3 a month, and it's the T2T group chat. The tier two is $5 per month. This is in US dollars, of course. And that gets you early access to waiver wire episodes, entry into our Frankenstack League, T2T team group chat. And then the $10 per month is one-on-one roster analysis, free entry into the Frankenstack League, T2T team group chat, early access to waiver wire episodes. We're also doing a promo at the moment where if you'd make a donation, a minimum of $2 to the Tim Tebow Foundation, subscribe to our YouTube channel and email a screenshot of your donation and subscription to toiletstotitles@gmail.com, you could win a Trey Lance mini helmet that's been signed by the great Trey Lance. And you can still do that if you by chance you've already subscribed. Just take a photo to let us know you subscribed and make the donation.
I'm looking forward to that league. That's a lot of fun, that Frankenstack League, Force Trade League. It's a little bit probably different than most Force Trade Leagues. The way they draft is a bit different. It's a good fun league for a good cause. So get those reviews in.
Please, guys, get the reviews in. Get the Trey Lance mini helmet. Donate to charity. Now, one position we haven't touched on yet as far as potential breakouts, can you see any quarterbacks coming up and emerging from, a lot higher than where they finished last season?
I'm just bringing it up now, having a quick squeak now, mate. What about you? Have you got someone in mind moving up or moving down? Obviously, Stafford's a bit of a value, depending on his health. If his shoulder's good, I think he can be a quarterback one. He wasn't far off last year, quarterback 15. Burrow, he might throw three or four interceptions every now and then, but I'd love to see Fitzpatrick just get a good run. I think last year he was going all right before they pulled him. So if he can maintain that form and Washington keep winning, QB1 might be a bit of a stretch, but I think he might. I'm hoping he can start it every game and finish the season. For a contender, I'd be buying Fitzpatrick on the cheap.
That's a pretty safe buy, right? I mean, you're not going to pay much, and it's all upside. I'd have to say, look, somebody I'm really high on is Matt Stafford. I think he could have the best season that he's had in a very long time on that Rams offense. I could see him passing for close to 5,000 yards and getting about 40 touchdowns.
Yeah, look, I just said Stafford. I think you were messaging Mick, trying to get Mick back online. But, yeah, I said the same thing. I hate it when we agree so much. We've got to find someone we differ on. But, yeah, I think if his shoulder's good, he's going to throw the ball everywhere.
And a guy I'm excited about, and you probably all know this by now, is Tua Tagovailoa. I can't even say the last name. How do you say the last name? Tua Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
You're in trouble with asking me.
Just murder it every time, mate. Every time.
Tagovailoa? Yeah, I'm not sure, man.
He didn't have any weapons last year who could really create separation. And now he's got wide receivers in Fuller and Waddle who can create elite separation. And I think that's going to make all the difference for him.
What's the difference between Lance and Tua for you? Is it a close? Who you got ahead?
Look, I'd still take Lance. He's just got a lot more insulation at this point, value-wise. He's probably going to do a lot more with his legs.
I was thinking we could do an on-air trade in Dynasty underdog one because I know I was eyeing off Lance and you took him. So I'll grab Tua about two picks later.
I didn't get Lance. You got Lance.
Did I get Lance tonight? I thought you got Lance.
In Dynasty underdog one, you took him at 1.112.
He took someone and I took Tua. I can't remember who it was. Maybe a second quarterback.
I took Zach Wilson.
I took Wilson and Lawrence. Well, we're gonna do a Tua trade. Matt Lee. Look, I like Tua too. I think he's underrated. He was injured. He was on a tight short leash, you know, he was in and out, still a rookie. I like everything that Miami's doing. I think they're really in the right way. I think, you know, for the next few years they're gonna be a force. Parker was injured last year. You know, it's just I love a bit of DeVonta Parker, so I think he's his value. Why would I trade him then, I guess?
Exactly. Why would you want to trade him? If you want to trade him to me, come here. Come at me, bro.
I think I just talked myself out of it.
Yeah. I got some picks there. If you're after some picks, I know you like those picks.
I saw those picks, yeah. He stole some picks there. That was nice.
I'm just trying to think who else could bounce back. I expect Baker Mayfield statistically to have a lot more yards than last season. I think I mentioned this last week. I know the Browns will still be run first, but he really came on in the second half of last year. So I think he'll have a lot more yards and a few more touchdowns.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he's got a little bit better again this year. He got his confidence back a little bit last year, and maybe we see what we saw in his rookie season. Also, I think Wentz is he's a little bit underrated. But, mate, it looks like we've got everyone moving up. There's going to be 24 QB ones. Who are you thinking is going to regress a little bit? Maybe not drop out of the, you know, QB one or QB two, but just a bit of regression. Do you have anyone in mind? Or?
Yeah, I think Herbert will take a step back statistically. Yeah, I think he'll improve, but I just think that he'll take a step back and not put up the same amount of fantasy points that he put up last year. Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't really rush anymore, and I don't think he's going to throw for 48 touchdowns again. So even if you just go from, say, 48 to 40, he's probably going to move down the rankings a fair bit, right? Probably to that latter QB1 kind of place. You know, probably where around Brady is.
I agree. I think Herb will be similar to Lamar, and a little bit more tapered in. His defensive coordinator's working out a little bit more. You know, as brilliant as he is, I think there, you know, he might regress a little bit. And I think I mentioned last week probably Murray a little bit too. You know, he's still going to be. the top 10. But
it's hard.
We finished four last year. Yeah. So
with in overall finish, he was third because he had slightly more points, total points than Mahomes. But yeah, per game he was fourth. Allen and Allen Murray and Lamar, they all rush too much to drop out of that top 12, right? I mean, Allen's never passed the ball before like he passed last year, and he was still like a QB one the season before that, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think they do have that that floor. They're going to be a QB one. I think they both have it. Murray do regress, but their legs, you know, they keep them close enough to be a QB one anyway. And look, definitely Josh Allen. He could easily be the QB one. This year, I think I've got him in a couple of places. I thought about cashing out, but that last game is burning my mind, what they did against the Patriots. They just took him apart. I think in the last quarter, he was off, right? And they still just drew us. I can see him doing that for a few years.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, these overall finishes are based so much on who stays healthy and who doesn't, right?
Yeah, yep.
We'll see. We got Andrew Campy here in the comments, very active on Twitter, follows the Tallest Titles guys, follows the Aussie guys. He's an Aussie himself. And he's saying that Daniel Jones and the Giants are going to step into the top 12. With all the weapons, maybe it's a possibility, but I just don't think he has the talent.
Well, he has got the legs. He's got that rushing upside, I guess. I think he sort of improves a little bit. I doubt it's top 12, but he'll be, you know, maybe 18, 19, 20 in that range. If he stays where he is, they could be drafting another quarterback sooner rather than later. Maybe Archie Manning gets on that team sooner than we think.
Well, we don't think Mick's going to make it back on, and we've gone for almost an hour. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on tonight, Matt?
No, I think we covered it well. I think we're less than 100 days out from the start of the league, so starting to get that itch and be watching football in no time.
That we will, sir. Really only 3 months away, right?
No, time flies when you're having fun. So, it's before you know it, we'll be a couple of months and we'll be watching those lovely practice games. I think they cut them down this year, right? It was a 7th game. I think we've only got 2 games, which is probably good.
Time flies when you're in lockdown. Anyway. Soon it will end. So just to let everybody know, you can listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean, Facebook, Towards the Titles When a Family Breaks, and, of course, Spotify. And please hit the like and subscribe button and throw us an Apple Podcasts iTunes review. You can reach out to me at Live From The Ben and at FF _ Doormat with any and all fantasy football questions, or if you just want our opinion, you can get in our DMs, and we're always happy to talk football with anybody. Matt's especially happy to talk football with the common folk. He's a very, very busy man, but he'll make time for all of you. And, of course, hit up the main show handle at Toilets2Titles. All right? We're just the baby pod here. You want to listen to the big show, right, with at Coach Sheps and Justin and Nate Dirt. Those guys are just superstars, and the way they've grown the Toilets2Titles and what they're doing here is just astounding. Really, really fantastic stuff.
This week, right, a couple of guests coming on, which I'll be excited to listen to. Maybe a bit of theory, maybe a bit of mock. I'm not sure yet, but that's going to be good. I've got IDP League starting up shortly, so be taking some notes.
Yeah, you did request to touch on some IDP strategy, didn't you, sir?
Sneaky. I'm a big fan of Jordan Raines, what he does, and he's talked about zero defensive line. So I want to give that a try. And just, you know, normally when I start a league, I do try a new strategy for whatever reason. I like to try everything a little bit, quarterback extreme or whatnot. So I might give that a try.
So try that new strategy. Doesn't go well, leave that league, join another league, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
good. All good. Well, if that was all you had, sir, I'll let you go. We'll let the viewers go. And I hope you all have a great night. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, guys.